Glad you're all here. I'm Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's good to be together. Anyway, so I wanted to take a time and just come before God and trust His power. All right, God, we just come before you. I know there's lots of burdens on people's minds that weren't shared. We just give those to you. Thank you that you are big enough to handle it all. Thank you that you carry our burdens. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together. Thank you for the encouragement in this room. Thank you for the encouragement of faith. Thank you for the truth that you want to speak to us. God, I ask that you would encourage us with your truth. I ask that you would encourage us with grace. I ask that you would continue to walk us closer to you. We give you this time. We put aside our distractions as best we can and just come before you. Thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that your grace pours over us like rain, just floods us, washes us. We need your grace so much. Thank you for washing us afresh with your grace. We honor you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I wanted to go over the goals first. We wanted to just kind of try to be a little more intentional as a group. And so you have a little card there. So the three areas, the first area to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. I've had a sense over the years, those are kind of the three big areas. And the biggest is to love God. We are to love God with our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And there's a lot to that. The outcome that we're seeking is not like the greatest part of that. It's just we decided a little piece. What would it look like to grow in love from the heart? What would that look like? And so we're kind of focusing on that. And an action step that we came up with, again, it's not like the end all, the greatest thing. We just thought it was a simple step. And so a simple step over the course of these next few months, I want to ask you guys to jump in on this. It's to journal my honest thoughts and feelings once a week or more. Not just, here's what I did today, but here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling. Lay it out on paper. And then after that, acknowledge. And sometimes I write it on my paper and appreciate that God loves me right where I am, even with all these thoughts and feelings. And it's been cool for me. I don't know about you guys. Over the course of these months, I'd love to hear what this is like for you, if it's been painful or beautiful, or you feel like it has helped you deepen that connection from the heart with God. I hope it does. The second one, to love others, where the desired outcome is just to experience a greater support and belonging in our church family. We are a family in Christ. And so the action step to pray for 5 people a day, on the back of your card is a place to write in names. And some people just write out one name across the entire thing. Five names. I'm going to pray for these 5 people every day, as much as I remember, whatever. And the goal is not to like, oh, I did such a good job. The goal is bigger than that. The goal is to incorporate this into a way of building support and belonging. And prayer is powerful. So I know we've been praying for jobs for people in the church. We've been praying for health. We've been praying for wisdom, for relationships. And God works. God answers prayer. The third goal, to make disciples. We have a constant drive and desire to share Christ beyond just this room, beyond our family. And a piece of that is just sharing the message. And so we're going to try to focus on that. And this goal is such an interesting one because we all have different styles. Somebody in here could probably go, I know somebody that wants to, and stand on the street corner on a box and just talk to people as they come by, preach it. And some of us, we would rather die than do that. And so it's very different expression, but what does that look like for you? What would it look like for you to intentionally share that message? I know some people's goal is to leave a tract. We have these gospel tracts. It says, do you know for certain? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And just to leave that somewhere, somebody could find it in a bathroom and, whoa, what would happen if I died? And hear the good news that Christ came to save us, that we could have life eternally because of his doing, because of his death in our place, and his life as our life. And so other people, I know people that have decided to write out their testimony and make their own little booklet and leave that individually with people. Hey, can I share something about my life with you? I know others that have decided to go through their neighborhood and pray for neighbors and then ask if they could come back and share a story about Christ with them. What would that look like for you? Again, my hope in all of this is that it's not a burden. It's not like, man, I become righteous if I do all my duties. You don't. You're not righteous if you do all these things. We are righteous because the blood of Jesus made us righteous. And when we receive his life, we're new. We're righteous. Regardless of how many boxes we check. So I hope it doesn't become that for any of us, but I think it is a tool. I want to ask you guys to keep engaging in that. And so part of that first goal, deepening that connection with God, we're doing a series, and it's called The God Embrace. The premise of this title is, what would happen if we came to God with our hearts completely exposed? Just completely who we are. They're not hiding nothing. God could see every thought, every feeling, every intention. And we just stood there before God, naked, at the heart level. What would God do? Would he be like, would he be like repulsed? And it is my firm belief God would embrace us with whatever mess we have and say, I love you. Anyways, that's a review. So today we're going to talk about emotions, sharing emotions. Emotions are part of who we are, that come from our heart. I remember in my life, I have four brothers. When I was in college, we went shopping to the hottest venue in my little hometown, which was Walmart, for Christmas. And we all went together before Christmas to go and join the madness and shop. And my little brothers were fighting in the store. And my own heart was, what are we doing? What is this season come into this commercial material madness? And we got in the car afterwards and we're leaving. And I just felt these emotions. And I stopped the car in the middle of Walmart parking lot. I was like, let's talk about this. I just want to tell you guys how I'm feeling. I started telling him how I was feeling, like, I don't even remember the exact words, but that feeling of like, what is going on? And I want more. I want more than just fighting over gifts and squabbling in the back of the car. And I think that was the first time I ever really shared my feelings with my siblings at some level. And it was interesting because one of my brothers, when I would come visit at college, he would say, hey, Dove, are we going to share feelings? And what's amazing is, especially with him, it developed a really close bond. That sharing of emotions was something really powerful that actually added to our relationship. So emotions, what do we do with these emotions? To start with, God has emotions. That's pretty wild to think about. He is not some force that set the planets and stars into motion and just left it. He's not some immaterial plasma. He is not like us in some senses. His emotions are not the same as ours. His thoughts are not the same as ours. He's way beyond. But God has emotions. That's amazing. The Bible records a lot of these if you'd like to check out the verses. God has emotions. And we were made in the image of God. Not exactly like God. And very, very different, but in his image. And part of that image of God is an emotional aspect. We have an emotional aspect to our life that's extremely important. The Bible records tons of emotions in people. Just for an example, the emotion of weeping, the mourning. I didn't like do an extensive search just thinking about places it's recorded. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Nehemiah, Peter, Jesus, Paul, John, entire crowds of people weeping together is recorded in the Bible. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, I think this is amazing. David and his men, these are warriors. These are guys that have been in battle, battle-hardened for years, who had seen people die in battle all over, who had seen comrades who had killed people. These are like hardened men. Their homes were ransacked and their families taken. And it says, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. That's a lot of weeping. Until they had no strength. And they had some anger too. I believe our goal is not to eliminate emotions. Our goal is to manage them. We need to express them in healthy ways. We need to use them well, not be used by them. And I think that's true of so many other things too. Money, our time, pleasures. The goal is to use them. The goal is not to be used by them. To be, that they would be our servants, not that they would be our masters. And so, for example, in Proverbs it says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So I need to take this anger and use it right. I can't just let it go. Same with fear. First Peter is talking to wives, do what is right and do not give way to fear. Can't just let fear completely paralyze me. Yeah, well, we're going to have fear. We all experience fear. But we can't let it control us. When are emotions useful? When are they not useful? What do you think? Sometimes we don't want them. We just don't want those feelings. I'm not saying we shouldn't have them. Sometimes we're embarrassed by them. It would be interesting to me to see how universal it is of how much we've stuffed emotions because we showed them at some time in our life and we got made fun of. I specifically remember in my life being made fun of for my emotions and stuffing them. I have a friend, he got in a fight. His mom told him not to fight, and so he didn't fight back in middle school, and he cried. And he got made fun of, and he said he'd never cried again for 20 years. And I remember when he started to actually allow that emotion out again. So that's one reason. We just don't want them. Sometimes they seem inconvenient. I got stuff that needs done. These emotions are getting in the way. They're less important. Sometimes we think they're bad. And we have kind of this thing, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. It used to be a song in the 90s. Of like, happiness is good, and sadness is bad, fear is bad, anger is bad, guilt is bad. All the other ones are bad. So I can show happiness, and it's good, but the other ones are all bad. And it's interesting that stigma, yeah, sure, they can lead us to do bad things. But they're not actually bad. It's not actually bad to feel things. Emotions are not useful as a basis for making decisions. If you go to the store and you're looking to buy something, and go, what makes me feel happy? Oh, there's this commercial. Oh, yes! Don't make big life decisions on emotions. Make big life decisions with counsel, with insight. That's not emotions' place. Emotions are not useful when we cannot regulate them, when we get carried away by them. Sometimes emotions can stop us from doing what we want to do. They can make us do things we don't want to do. That's not cool. That's not emotions' job. Sometimes we can be paralyzed in fear from the life we want to live. sometimes we can explode in anger. Our emotions are not supposed to take us places. We're supposed to use them. Okay, when are emotions useful? I think emotions are useful to experience a full expression of who we were created to be. We were intended to have emotions. We were intended to have relationships. We were intended to have intellect. We were intended to have a spirituality. And all of these pieces are important. And we shouldn't just throw one of them out. They add a richness to life. Emotions really do. Why do movies outsell documentaries every year? Because they have emotions in them. Can you imagine life without emotions? It would just be kind of robotic and bland. It'd be like watching a movie with no music. Emotions really add a richness to our lives. Emotions also increase memory on the side. That's kind of cool. Emotions, our memories are tied to emotions. And emotions motivate us. Without emotions, we wouldn't have the drive to keep going. They give us a zeal in life. Emotions are useful because they are actually able to reveal what's going on beneath the surface of my life. Emotions are one of the clearest windows into our own souls. And we can intellectualize all kinds of stuff, but those emotions are just so honest. And sometimes I hate how honest they are. In 2 weeks, I want to talk a lot about this. But they show us what we're really believing at that time, for good or bad. Emotions, these are the main points I want to draw out today. Sharing emotions with others builds relationship. It is a very useful place for emotions. It connects us with them. If you want to be close to someone, share your feelings. Don't just share the weather. Share your feelings and listen to their feelings. And if they share their feelings, listen. Those are sacred. That's a place to connect. Just some of the scriptures related to this. In Romans 12:15, says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And I feel really blessed to have a dad who shared emotion with me. And I think he was a great example of this. If I was really excited and happy, my dad would enter into my happiness and share that with me. And if I was really sad, my dad would not shut that down. He would enter into that. And I remember my dad tearing up. I remember my dad shedding tears when I was sharing an honest sadness in my life. And it added an amazing bond. And even though my parents got divorced and I didn't have that much of a connection with my dad, that bond of emotions was really powerful. And even as I cultivated that with my brothers, I remember later on with my brothers watching a movie together, and I don't remember what was going on in my brother's life, but he's crying. And he didn't want to see it. He was hiding under the pillow. I'm like, take the pillow off him. You don't need to be ashamed. You can cry around me. And then probably because it was cool with my dad, I remember crying with my brother. Just, yeah, it's okay. Not even it's okay. I wasn't saying a judgment. Just, I feel that with you. And this empathy builds an amazing connection between people of feelings. In 2 Corinthians 2:4, we hear this as Paul's writing to the Corinthians, his second letter to them. And he's saying, I wrote to you the first letter out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. How cool. He's sharing that emotion. I want you to know when I wrote to you, I was crying, weeping. I had anguish in my heart. I was concerned for you. I'm not saying that so you'll feel pained, but so you'll know that there's a depth of love there. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm assuming when they were saying goodbye, Timothy was in tears. He's like, I remember those tears. I long to see you. I want to be with you, that I may be filled with joy. He's sharing that emotion together. Philippians 1:8, very similar. Towards the beginning of this letter to this church, Paul says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's not just an intellectual, hey, when we get together, I have some facts I need to pass on to you about baptism. Don't let me forget to mention those. There's a depth of connection of, I long for you. I have affection that's emotional. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, we've spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. What an interesting phrase. Hey, we opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you're withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Open wide your heart. Be real together. And I've seen the power of that in my life. I thought it was cool. I heard a relational counselor, biblical counselor speak, David Wise, and he gave all kinds of really fascinating insights into intimacy and relationships. And he was saying him and his wife, every single night, and they've only missed like a handful of nights over 20 years, even when he's traveling, every night they share one emotion from that day with each other, one thing they appreciate about each other, and then they pray together every single night. And it was amazing to me just hearing that. I was like, those are three really powerful connecting pieces. Sharing an emotion with somebody, hearing their emotion, is a powerful tool of connection. Sharing what you appreciate about somebody, powerful place of connection. Both challenging, both vulnerable. Both require a place of trust. And then praying together builds an amazing connection. Again, there's a vulnerability and difficulty in that too. I thought that was really cool. I've seen that in my own life. We do that with our kids every now and then. At night, we'll just be like, hey, let's all share a feeling from the day. And most of our kids are like, I felt happy when we got cookies. Which is fine. Like, that's great. And others will be like, man, I was really sad when this person left because I wanted to see him longer. But starting to like communicate those feelings and to hear that. How many of us growing up knew that our parents were afraid at times? I didn't really know that. And then I become a parent and I have fear. I'm anxious about my kids. I'm like, something's wrong with me. My parents, they were like stellar. They never had any fear. Well, sure they did. Yeah. I just didn't know it. But if I share that I'm afraid with my kids, then maybe they'll start being scared because dad's supposed to be safe. But it doesn't actually work that way. They see, whoa, dad's anxious, but he's putting his trust in God. They can learn how to do that too, because that's my hope. And likewise, when we share emotions with God, it builds a relationship with him. And this might be as foreign as realizing that God has emotions. If we see God as just kind of this immaterial force that, or who knows, like a vending machine, put in our good works and we get something good, we might not engage at that level. But to share emotions with God is an amazing building tool. Just this week I was walking and trying to just pray some of my emotions. I felt like what goes on inside of me is all tangled up sometimes. I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm fine. And if I'm not fine, I'm fine. But as I start picking it out, man, I regret this. I have some regrets still in the back of my soul somewhere. I have some loneliness. I have insecurity. I have fear. And it's so cool to just take those and dump them on God. Dump them. And this is the dumping on God verse. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. I don't encourage you to dump on people in your life. Here's all the emotions I have. Blah. It might be, you know, gently share some of those. But with God, you can dump any emotion you have. You can yell and scream. You can cry. You can do anything you want. You will not shock him. You will not hurt him. You will not push him away. For he is our refuge. The Psalms are so beautiful at this, because not only do Psalms share so much emotion, but then they added music, which adds even more emotion. Which is why we love music, right? Music is so emotional. And can you imagine singing this? Just writing this and singing, I love you, Lord, my strength. I would sing it, but it might sound bad. I'll have John sing it later. I love you, Lord, my strength. Just, that's the song of my heart. What about this song? I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. This is a sad one. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I really like a sad song. It's just soothing. My kids don't. They're like, change that. That's sad. Like, yeah. But I am troubled by my sin. I'm emotionally affected. I give you this trouble. I have this sin in my life, and I'm stuck, and I don't like it. I'm walking in this. And day after day, I'm broken. I'm still broken. And I give you that sin, just that rawness of just bringing that to God. The rawness, I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name. I am glad. I rejoice. Life is so wonderful. You have blessed my life. I want to read a little snippet together. This will be the last one. Psalm 25. We're going to do a piece of it. 16 through 20. Hear the emotion in this psalm. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. He's telling God, I am lonely and beat down, afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me. I sense this. People hate me. There's animosity toward me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem, O Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Who writes a song about feeling lonely and then sings it in church? That's cool. That's a connection with God. And I think for some of us that aren't very expressive, I hope that journaling is a good tool. I just encourage all of us that one way to have a more intimate relationship with God, it's definitely not the only way, is to share our emotions with him and let him speak into them. He's going to speak truth into them. He's going to minister to those. Conclusions. Emotions are an important part of being human in the image of God. We can learn to use our emotions in healthy ways, not be used by them. One valuable use of emotions, there's plenty, but is to develop relationships with others and with God as we share those with each other, as we share those with God, and as we hear his heart. Sharing emotions with God and letting him speak into them helps build a connection with him. God, thank you that you've made us with emotions, and I ask that you would teach us how to bring them to you and how to experience a connection with you. God, I give you, I don't like my emotions sometimes. I would rather ignore all of them and go watch the Olympics. But thank you. God, I want to come to you in my anger, and my fear, and my sadness, my hope, my joy, my shame, my guilt, my longing. Thank you that you meet us there, that you're bigger than all of them, and that you use them in life. And we love you, God, and desire to be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.